Did I turn it on? Am I good?
All right. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 18 tonight. Psalms chapter 18, and we're going to continue our series on prescriptions through the Psalms. prescriptions through the Psalms, and I was reading. Am I good? If I need to do something, just tell me. Wave your arms. And Psalm 18, I was thinking of, when you look at the caption here, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," and so you'll notice that at the top of Psalm chapter 18, you notice that's actually the longest inscription there in the whole Bible for the beginning of a chapter. And you know, tonight, as Pastor has already mentioned, we have to be people who praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works, as the psalmist says, to the children of men. And you know, this book, the Bible, gives us prescriptions for everything we have in life. How many of you have ever gotten a prescription from a doctor? Would you raise your hand? Have you ever got a prescription from a doctor? How many of you have ever gotten, they write up a patient history about you? Have you ever gotten that? Any of you ever had a mistaken patient history? I'm thankful the Bible doesn't have any mistaken patient histories. The Bible doesn't have any mistaken prescriptions. I came across these online. You tell me what's wrong with the following patient histories, okay? So pay attention and you tell me what you think is wrong. It's just a short few words. You tell me what's wrong with these patient histories. As the doctor is writing out something around the patient has chest pain if he lies on his left side for over a year. Anybody catch that? Yeah, I think all of us would have problems if we laid on our side for over a year. How about this? The patient has occasional, constant, infrequent headaches. Just think about it and then you'll get it, okay? The patient was alert and unresponsive. Some of you are that way right now. Alert and unresponsive. The patient has two teenage sons, but no other abnormalities. That's one of my favorites. The patient lives at home with his mother, father, and pet turtle, who is presently enrolled in daycare three times a week. That was definitely not what they were meaning to say. Many years ago, the patient had frostbite of the right shoe. Shoes can't get frostbite, for those of you still wondering. The patient gets hives from strawberries and shrimp, and also two of her children. It would be very bad if you got hives for being around your children. That would not be good. There's only three more here. The patient had been depressed ever since she began seeing me in 1983. And then we have here, the patient had no past history of suicides, and the patient has refused an autopsy. So for those of you that refuse an autopsy, I'm sure that meant to say biopsy. But I noticed here in these patient histories, you know, the Bible, for everything, one of the greatest privileges I had in Uganda was to sit down and, some of you know Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And sometimes, and you'll notice some other books that are says many infallible proofs. And this book is true. And this book has many things in it that you can sit down with someone and you can reason through the scriptures. Now, does it take faith? Yes. But there's many things that back up our faith tonight in the Bible. And this is not a prescription that there's any mistakes in. And I think we can rely tonight that as we are trying to raise our families, and I'm just cutting this message in half tonight, given the good news that we were going through earlier. And then we want to spend some time tonight to pray. As David was fleeing from Saul in this passage of scripture, you're going to notice the first few verses, he talks about something interesting. He says, "I want to praise the Lord." And if you notice in Psalm 18, he says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now, we're going to look at this entire psalm over the next week or next time I get a chance to speak. But I want you to look at this psalm as the prescription for deliverance. How many times do we get ourselves into issues that maybe we have no meaning to get ourselves in a situation, and yet God perhaps has put us in a situation to say, "Listen, I want to guide you through it," just like I guided David to defeat the giant, just like I helped David. You know, you think about David's mentality. Can you imagine being anointed king, and he was waiting, and he was waiting, and he was waiting, And yet, he didn't have the fruit of what he thought was coming his way. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like, not that God owes you something, but that God has promised you something in his word, or God has led you in a certain direction, and you feel like, you know, is God going to answer? We see in this passage, he starts off here by first of all proclaiming his love for God. He says, I will love thee. And you know, as an overview of this chapter quickly, there's another Psalm of David, and it was written about the many deliverances. And you're going to notice the next 30 verses after verse 3 are the deliverances that God had given him from his enemies, especially from Saul, who murderously chased him for a number of years before David was allowed to become king. And most of us in our life, there will be an exhaustion that occurs in life as we run from one difficulty to another. And perhaps tonight you're exhausted by some circumstance beyond your control. Have you ever been in that situation? Some circumstance that you say, it could be something of health, it could be something of family, and you just say, I want to give up. I am certain tonight that David was in a situation where there were times when he was perhaps before in the cave of Adullam, and he was there and he just wanted to give up. And God said, no, I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to be your buckler. We see in this passage, we see the praise for the deliverance, the peril for the deliverance. We see the power in verses 6 through 19, the persons involved in the deliverance in verses 20 through 28. And then we see how God performed the deliverances in verses 29 through 45. God is a God of great power. And I'll just be honest with you, the last few days, as we were getting reports from different of the supervisors, and I'll be honest with you, whenever we got that report from Supervisor Turner on Monday, and I think I saw it as Pastor saw it click his email, it hit my email, and I just paused, and we were, you know, we were off from school that day. We were trying to relax as a family, and we're watching a movie together, and I just saw that, and I thought, oh my goodness, what does this mean? And Mike and I went upstairs and we got on a place and got down on our knees and we prayed. And Michaela and Mandy and Malachi went to another part of the house. And we just spent time saying, Lord, we don't know your will, but we know you're good. And we can still praise you even though we don't know your will. Lord, we're praying for this certain request. We'd be able to get these ball fields and we'd be able to get this piece of land. But Father, if it's not your will, Lord, we trust you. You know, it was a time that my family was able to grow closer together. Because I'll tell you what, we were in that meeting last night, and some of you got there at, 4:20? And then we were there, and we sat there, and it was about 10:05, and we're sitting there, and we're still waiting for the results. And then, you know, at one point, they said it's a tie, and we're like, a tie? What? And we were wondering, and then all of a sudden, we realized we had the votes. And, you know, as I talked to my children afterwards, we drove home, dropped Mandy and Malachi off, and Mike and Michaela and I were talking, and they're like, man, the Lord answered this prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And, you know, when this supervisor said this, I was praying this, and then the other children were like, and I was praying this, and did you see this person say this? And you know what they were doing? They were rehearsing the things that they learned to pray about in the midst of a situation. And, you know, tonight it's a lesson for all of us that David was quick, number one, to just say, Lord, before we go any further, he said, Lord, I want you to know that I love you. And tonight, one of the important things for us as a church family to do is just to tell God tonight that we love him, that he has been good to us, that we love him for his, not just for his great blessings to us, because God would have still been good if he didn't give us that land and still hadn't answered our request in the way that we desired. Can you think about what if God would have given our request to us 10 years ago? What if we would have gone out to Ashburn? And anybody know how many cars, and some of you have asked me this, how many cars go in that traffic study in front of Ashburn if we would have built our church there? 20,000 cars a day. In front of our church now, 25,000 cars a day. Do you realize how many are in front of the new church property there in Concora? 150,000 cars a day. Do you see how if we would have built maybe 5 years ago, we understood that if we had the money to do it, we probably would have been in debt, $4 or $5 million. Now, it looks like we could build even more and perhaps not have nearly that kind of debt. You understand how sometimes we don't understand. We pray for God's will in a situation and God says no. And maybe you're in a situation where God says no, no. And you go, but why? And any of you ever asked why? We say, but God, why? We did this with Mandy's health. Lord, but why? Lord, why is it that we're going to mission trips to Gulu, Uganda, and she gets so sick and she has this rash of chicken pox, and all of a sudden people are looking at her and she's in a wheelchair and she falls down and she has fevers of a high fever. She can't eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. Lord, what are you doing? God said, I have a reason. I'm not going to explain it to you all right now. Would you trust me? And you know, God has the best intentions for us. And sometimes, do you not think some of those martyrs that went to the stake prayed, God, give me deliverance. And God said, no, I want you to go and glorify me in death. All I'm saying tonight is, you know what? We pray and we leave it all up to God because he has the best answers. In this passage of scripture tonight, we see whenever we go through problems, we must begin our journey with praise, knowing God knows what he is doing in and for us. We must cultivate a heart of praise for God personally and publicly with our family. You notice number one, Christians must be a people that daily love and praise the Lord. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. We see David in 1 Samuel 21 and throughout this book was fleeing and running, but he often took time to praise the Lord and said, Lord, I'll love thee. Oh, Lord, my strength. Let me just ask you real quickly tonight, where is your strength lie? Does your strength lie in the Almighty God, the God who answered our prayers last night? You know, we got home. We got in and we stopped by McDonald's, just so you know. We got a hot fudge sundae on the way home, 10 o'clock. I did not get one. I was reserved. We got the hot fudge sundaes and we went home. And we sat there and we started talking and we go. And some of the kids were talking like, well, what if we go back? What if the supervisors are out of the meeting? Maybe we can talk to them. You know what we did? Michaela, Mike, and I, we all got back in, ran up to the meeting. We sat down in the back of the meeting. Did you know that meeting went another 2.5 hours? Did you know that? We did not stay for the last 2.5 hours. But we did get to talk to some of the people that had come out because the supervisors didn't like sitting up there the whole time. You know what? They were gracious to us, talked to us. Do you know tonight the reason God has given us this land is because I believe he truly wants us to reach more people. He truly wants us to be a bigger blessing to this area. But we'll never be a blessing until we first learn to praise the Lord and love the Lord as David did. He said here, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. It reminds us, where do we get our strength? Letter A, this principle must be taught, but it is often caught better than taught. So letter A, this principle must be taught. And it's important in Deuteronomy. He said, you must teach this to your children and your children's children. And this is an important principle because if you don't praise the Lord, you know what? It's something that, yes, you can teach them to praise the Lord. But when you as a mom and dad are constantly praising the Lord and giving him the credit for what is being done, you know what they learn to do when they get older? They realize, man, it's not about me. It's about God. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God can do. This principle of praise to God is not natural to our human nature since the fall. Since the fall of man, we like to lift ourselves up and get the glory. And I'm so thankful, as Pastor reminded us tonight, it's not what we've done. No, God has done something great and mighty. And we trust him and we put our faith in him. But let us not take the glory. Let us remember that he has a purpose and a plan. Letter A, we see David's true affections for God in his praise. He says here, I will love thee, O Lord. The finest praise for God is shown in our love for him. I'll never forget a little orphan girl that we had named Mercy. And at many times her name was Mercy, but sometimes she did not show mercy to other people. And sometimes you think, is this person misnamed? Because, you know, this person was really antagonistic to some other children. But I'll never forget one day when she got saved and she had gone a while and we were thinking, you know, this girl's going to get saved at some point. And she was coming and coming along. And you know what we first noticed? Her love. She said, and I'll never forget, she came up to me one morning about 6 o'clock in the morning in my office. And she said, Pasta. She said, do you have a moment? And I said, yes. And I said, come on in, Mercy. And she sat down. You know what she started talking about? She says, now that I'm reading my Bible and now that Jesus has saved me, she said, you know what? She said, I have a love for others. But she said, you know who I love the most? I said, who? She goes, I love Jesus. You know, that little girl completely changed. I was thankful. A girl came up to me tonight. Young girl got saved yesterday. You know what? We should rejoice and young children that trust Christ early. Because you know what we can teach them? To love God now. When we teach them to love God at a young age, oh, what servants for Christ they can make. We see David uses some strong attributes, letter B. David uses some strong attributes in his praise to God. Verse 2, David describes God in at least 7 different ways. Notice what he says here. He says, God, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're my strength, my buckler, my horn, power of my salvation, all these attributes apply to salvation and deliverance. And then he says, you're my high tower, meaning you're my security, you're my protection here in verse 2. It reminds us that there are many attributes we can give to God, and they're all true and they're all wonderful, but they represent a different attribute that if we're not careful, we'll forget that we can run to God for all of these things. Number one, David refers to God as my rock. You'll see there in quotations, meaning that David's foundation was stable and steady. Isn't it wonderful to know that God never changes? How many of you, I don't know how many of you would remember Scott Foster. Scott Foster is now home with the Lord. He was about 2 years older than I was. We grew up together in this church, and he and I would love to go rock climbing. And this was many pounds ago. We used to go rock climbing, and I remember going to Carter Rock. Anybody know where Carter Rock is over in Maryland? And we would go there, and it's only about 80, 90 feet tall. But we would go on that rock, and we would climb up the face of it. And they had places drilled in where you could put, you have a carabiner, and you're rappelling down, and you're climbing up. And I remember thinking, I don't trust that this thing's going to hold me, Scott. I remember Scott just acting like Spider-Man, coming off the thing, and he would get hung up and he would just fall, he'd just fall off the rock. Well, I'm like terrified. I don't like heights anyway. Any of you scared of heights? Don't try rappelling, okay? It doesn't cure your fears, okay? I remember, but we did it so many times, I started getting used to it. And I started trusting the fact that he said, hey, this rock, Jeremy, look at how it's fastened in. You're not going to fall. I remember thinking, yeah, that's easy for you, man. I don't know. And I can remember he would tell me, he'd say, now when you get up here and if you've ever rock climbed, you're spread out and you're putting your hands in places. And he would say, now, if you can lurch and just lurch up and stick your hand in that crevice. And I'm like, I don't know what's in that crevice. And there would be grass, there would be thatch, and one of my friends got bit by a snake when he did it. And Scott said, come on, man, trust me. And I said, Scott, what are you saying? He goes, no, come on, just lean up and put your hand in there. And you know, when I listened to him, I did okay. You know, when we listen to God, we do okay. We do more than okay. But you know, that rock, I had a problem trusting it. Scott went up and down so many times. And you know what he did? He trusted that rock wasn't going to fail him. You know, tonight, David says, you are my rock. You are the one who holds me firm. You know, there's a place in... let me just read this to you. The tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, rises more than 2,700 feet over half a mile high. It has 160 floors and is twice as tall as the Empire State Building in New York City. It is home to the world's fastest elevator, which travels at 40 miles an hour. The Burj Khalifa also hosts the world's highest outdoor observation deck on the 124th floor and the world's highest swimming pool on the 76th floor. The secret to the stability of this massive building is found underground. You see, before construction began to rise up, workers spent over a year and a half of digging and pouring the massive rock foundation that supports the building. The foundation contains 60,000 cubic tons, weighing more than 120,000 tons. The building is only safe because the foundation is solid. Any of you know anything about building? If you don't have a solid foundation, we're ruined. And you know, tonight, we should be some of the most secure people in the world. The least insecure people on earth should be Christians. Do you know why? Because we have a rock. I'm reminded as I was climbing with Scott, how high did I want to climb? There were times we'd get down to the bottom and we would climb up. And he'd say, if you just trust that if you fall, the rock is going to catch you. The thing's not going to pull out. You're okay. I remember wondering, and he told me the statement. He goes, how high do you want to climb? And you know, spiritually, that's the same thing for us tonight. How high do we want to climb for Jesus Christ? We have to trust the rock of Jesus Christ to say, God can get me through this trial. God can get me through this problem. How high do I want to climb for Jesus? I see number two here, if you notice in your notes. David then declares God as what? My fortress. Reminding us that no matter the circumstances, he is a fortress. We had a few places. This week was elections in Uganda, East Africa. And the incumbent president won again. And I remember when we were there during elections, things would turn violent. They had 50 folks killed in November and this past election. And I can remember getting into places and our folks would say, Pastor, we have a safe place for you to go if anything turns violent. And I had one man that really trusted him a lot, and he took me to this place. And it was a place way up where they would hide from rebels when the insurgency came. And I'll never forget, he took me up, and I thought, man, there's lions in there. I don't know what's in this place. And he said, Pastor, this is the safest place in Uganda. He said, you know why? He goes, because look at all these rocks. He said, look at how we can see for miles. And you know, tonight, maybe you're just struggling with the fact of trusting God as He is your fortress. You know, David, I think the reason he could lay his head down at night and sleep and rest on the promises of God is because he learned to just trust God as his fortress. You notice number three here, David proclaims God as my deliverer. As certainly there is no situation he can't deliver us from. I'm amazed online. If you go to, from time to time, I visit some websites that are complete. If you notice today, there's legislation out today to hurt Christian schools and hurt different curriculums. But I saw one post by a young girl on an atheist website, and she said this. She said, I'm confused. I always believed that science would be the cure all for my problems. But I don't know if I can keep living without eternal life. I'm just telling you this. Loudoun County people are wondering. They're wondering, is God real? Is science really the answer for me? She said this, I always believed science would be the cure-all for my problems, but I don't know if I can keep living without eternal life. I guess I'll just have to find a way myself to make it through this meaningless existence. I just wish I knew of someone who could show me the path to eternal life. If science can't provide the answers, though, then who or what can? She puts the sigh sign in here. Doesn't it seem like there is a higher power that gives our life purpose? Well, science says there isn't. So I guess there isn't. You know what I'm telling you tonight is there are thousands of people that's repeated in the life of Loudoun County and in Fairfax County tonight. And you know what? A lot of times you and I are the only difference, the only thing they're going to see to make a difference. You know, one of the things I'm so excited about this new property is we're going to have more cars passing by. You know what it means? It means we have to be greater lights. We have to be greater witnesses. I'm always amazed when I was in Uganda and I would lay down and we would look at the stars. You couldn't see the stars in the daytime. You just couldn't. I mean, you can see the sun, but you can't see normal stars in the daytime. You know when you can see them is at night. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. And you know, the darker our county gets, the darker this nation gets, the stronger the light of Christians and of Jesus Christ should be through the people in this room. But you know what? If you're not careful, you won't be like David. You'll be in problems and you'll run, but you will run away from things instead of being like David. And we don't have time to look at it tonight, but we'll look at it later, that he used something called a buckler. It was a shield. I think he used it offensively just as well as defensively. You see here in this passage, David proclaims him as my deliverer. Psalm 40 and verse 17, he says this, but I am poor and I'm needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And I just want to remind you tonight, the Lord thinks about each and every one of us. He thinks about you. Do we think about him? Psalm 40 and verse 17, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make to tarrying, O my God. Look down 30 chapters later. Listen to what he says. He says almost the exact same verse, but he changes it a little bit. He says, but I am poor and needy. Let me just ask you, just down to brass tacks tonight. We're in Loudoun County, one of the richest nations on earth. Let me just ask you, do you look at yourself tonight before God as poor and needy? David said, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You know what we all have to do at Temple Baptist Church? I'm just being very frank with you, is all of us. And I've talked to my family about this recently and saying, you know what we got to realize, Mike and Mikhail and Malachi? We are poor and needy. We need God. God wants to use us, but we have to get rid of this thing and that thing. And I see things in my life that I have to go to my children to and confess and say, you know what, Dad didn't do that right. You know, we have to look at ourselves and our families this upcoming family month and say, hey, I am poor and I am needy. You know what the reverse effect of that is? It's because in Revelation, what did the church in Laodicea say? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have what? Need of nothing. And thou knowest thou that thou art not rich, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, one thing we have to be careful of as a church is not let the riches and the blessings of God blind us to spiritual things. To not let the riches and the blessings that God gives us as a family, to not just take them up and build them up, but to keep a heart for missions. To keep a heart daily and cultivating a heart in our children and husbands and in wives. We must recognize ourselves as every morning. When you wake up and your alarm goes off in the morning, oh, how you need to wake up and just say, God, it's me. It's Jeremy. Lord, I'm poor. I am needy. I need you. That's how we grow. There is such an ownership here. If you notice number four, David reveals his personal relationship as he says, my God. As many in Israel worshiped false gods in his day. And I'm telling you, in this nation, there are many people worshiping what? False gods. Gods that cannot hear, gods that cannot save. And they even make false gods. We see here, David reveals his personal relationship. Let me just ask you tonight, how is your personal relationship with God? One of the things we talk about every day in our vehicle coming here to church in the morning for school, we talk about things that we've read in our Bible. You know, it takes for my family to end up doing right. And there's no promises here, you know. I have to make sure that every day, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that each one of us takes ownership and says, hey, Micah, you watch yourself before Almighty God. Would you take it and say, God, you are my God. I want Micah to see that, hey, God is not just the God of Papa, the God of my dad. No. He is my God. And certainly over these coming weeks and days, we can get our families together and pray. And so our children know that he is my God. You see, number five, when David was weak, he realized that God was my strength. We must remember that when we are weak, he is strong. Let me ask you tonight, where is your strength lie? Some of you would know the name of Eddie Rickenbacker. He was already a famous race car driver when he enlisted to fight in World War I. The same quick thinking and reflexes that served him so well on the track made him one of the best fighter pilots the world had ever seen. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor for shooting down at least 20 enemy aircraft. And after the war, he had great success in business and became the owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And he was head of Eastern Airlines. During the war, however, his plane, while delivering messages for President Roosevelt to General MacArthur, he had to take an emergency crash landing. And with six other survivors in the middle of the ocean, he endured more than 3 weeks adrift at sea before finally drifting to land. But before that happened, there was one day when there was food, as food was running out, he says, I was at my weakest point. He said, and I had my little Bible. He said, I opened it to Matthew 6:33, and I read these words. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He said in those words, he said, I relaxed and I just said, Lord, I'm leaving this in your hands. He said, I found the strength to persevere and that I needed to seek the Lord as God would be my strength. As David said, you are my strength. Let me ask you tonight, as we go to prayer, would we just thank God that God is our strength, that he is my God, that as we look at this, we could say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my God. He is my strength in whom I will trust. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. And as we take this moment and we think in our hearts before we go to prayer, and before we play a song, I just pray that you would take this time and look in your heart. You would say, Lord, maybe this week I haven't been depending on you completely as my trust. Maybe you need to come to the Lord and say, but just like David did in Psalm 70, verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would realize, Lord, I realize above everyone, I am poor, I am needy. Father, how I need you this week, how I need you tomorrow, how I need you now. Lord, I pray that Temple Baptist Church would be soldiers of the cross. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that realize we are poor and we are needy. And even though that we have seen a great victory, Lord, as David saw from fleeing from Saul and seeing a victory over Goliath, Lord, I pray, Father, that we would praise you for what you have done. But Lord, we wouldn't forget that you are our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. You are our God and you are our strength. Lord, would we renew our hearts tonight? In Jesus' name, amen.